Glad you're here. Last week, we started talking about a little study in leadership, just biblical leadership, and we took some things from the practical standpoint, things that happen in corporate world and studies that have been written on leadership, and we're not going to get into all the models and all those crazy things that people study. But I did want to go through basically some qualities of a biblical leader that we can find even in the scriptures. So we're going to go through some of those. And again, leadership, we discussed what it is and things of that nature. But remember, just because you're not in a position of leadership, that does not mean you cannot lead. You can't have the influence over people to do right and to go in the direction of truth. And we started with this first one called integrity. Integrity. We spent some time last week talking about this. I mentioned that in many leadership studies, journal articles, surveys that have done over thousands and thousands of corporations and employees, that in a lot of the people's responses as to what was the character trait that they wanted to see in their leader, it was integrity and honesty. Nobody wants to work for a liar. No one wants to work for people they can't trust. No one wants to work for somebody that says one thing, then turns around and does something else. And so I wanted to talk about a few things about this. We went to John 13, 17. We looked at Philippians 4, 9. Thomas Jefferson, men of principle need to be our principal men. And that's, you know, what do they call that when the word sounds the same, but they're spelled different? Homonyms, is that right? Ah, got one right. Okay. Devin is my trivia guru. Check. All right. Principle means, you know, the things that you stand for, your belief system. Principal, like Miss Pepperd says, the principal is always your pal. That's what she tells the elementary kids, and they're like, ooh, neat. And then they go do something, and they don't feel very palish anymore, but it comes back. It comes and goes. They need to be the chief men, the ones in authority, the ones running, making decisions, the one out front leading need to be men of principle. And you know what happens and what has happened in even our country, in civilizations, in the times of history on. You can go back and look at the decay of a civilization or of an empire or whatever it might be, and you will see men that lack principles making decisions. And we've, again, as mentioned last time, we've gone so far from wanting God's word. I mean, I don't know. I'm not trying to be harsh or anything, but I just, we bash God forever. We bash the Bible. We bash prayer. We get mad that Tim Tebow prays in the end zone. But then when someone gets injured on the field, which was terrible last week, everybody wants to stop and pray. Right on ESPN in public. Why isn't that man not fired? I'm not trying to be harsh. We need to pray. But I'm like, well, I don't get it. So you can't be religious and bring that into the sports world. Oh, but there's a tragic thing, and our thoughts and prayers are with him, and all the teams are huddling and kneeling and praying, and the ESPN commentator, which I thought was great, was bold, was wonderful. I'm glad he prayed. I'm glad he prayed. I'm not against it. But where's the uproar? Where's the uproar? If President Trump got up and prayed, he'd have a heart attack. It'd be all over. I just, you know, where's the principles? They shift based on the situation or the emotions of the situation. That's where we are today. There's no principle. There's just move. Go with the flow. This, that. We need men and women of principles. You need to be that in your home as a mom or a dad, as a grandparent, whatever it is. You have a position of influence. You got to be principled. Have integrity. I'm going to share a few things from a text that I've always enjoyed. I know that a lot of people have heard this name. Maybe you don't agree with everything that he said. I don't agree with everything he says. He gets into some kind of the psychological things. I don't know if the man's a Christian or not, but a lot of the things that he says are pretty good. And it's John Maxwell, and he wrote this book called Becoming a Person of Influence. A lot of you probably heard of it. And I've just, again, you have to pick and choose through almost every book you read through. And I'm not here speaking a book, but there's some things in here I want to share that I thought were very, very good. He says a couple things, and we ended up with this last week. Ethical principles are not flexible, okay? Today, they're flexible. He brings some examples. A little white lie is still a lie. Whether you steal a penny, a dollar, a thousand, or a million, you're still a what? You're a thief. Well, we don't, it's just little. Where's principles? We try, it's a battle to teach that to children. It's a battle in your home. It's a battle as a parent. You've got to, where's the principles? So know what you believe and enforce that in your home. We fight those things all the time with the kids. Oh, it's just a little, it's just one little thing. Little thing matters. The little thing matters. The little cracks in the foundation, the little foxes that spoil the vineyard cause greater ramifications later. He says, integrity commits itself to character over personal gain, to people over things, to service over power, to principle over convenience. That's a hard one, isn't it? Well, this is more convenient. Situation ethics. I'll just drop my principles just a little bit because of the convenience. Or the long view over the immediate. He mentions Philip Brooks. I think I put this somewhere. I may not have put it on the slide. I don't think I did. Anyway, he said, character is made in the small moments of our lives. There's a preacher from the 1800s named Phillips Brooks. Character is made in the small moments of our lives. The little decisions, the things that we do. We break a principle here, we're putting a little crack in the foundation. And we talked about this as well. Character, and I know we say, we're going to teach them kids character. Yes, we are. You're going to put difficulty in front of them so that they can learn character. What do you think they're doing in the military when they go to boot camp? I've never been to boot camp. I love talking to Bill. He was a drill instructor at Paris Island. Is that what they call it, Paris Island? Yeah, I get confused. It's not Ellis Island. That's where the immigrants came through. All right. Paris Island. He used to tell me, I loved hearing the stories of, I don't know how the military is. It's probably, he'd probably get fired today. I don't know. But it was all, wake up at 2 in the morning just to fold and make your bed and then do 20 push-ups and then go back to sleep and wake up 10 minutes later with a drill instructor in your face screaming at you. He said they screamed so much they would cough up blood at night. So it's a miracle they have voice boxes left. But it's just unbelievable, the stories. And he said he was in charge of the people that failed the first time because they were overweight or weren't in shape. So can you imagine Bill saying to him beside you, they're putting them through the hardship. They're trying to build something for them. They want them to become something. And that is true, that character is built. There's no question about it. It takes time. We're going to talk about character hopefully today. But here's something else, another standpoint to look at it. Character is not created in a crisis, because a crisis is an instant that happens in your life. Something just happens and you don't expect it. Character is being built through circumstances and difficulties and things in your life. But then when that crisis comes, you don't create character in that moment. Your character is revealed. It comes to light. So here's this crisis. What decision am I going to make? And it's going to tell a whole lot about what my character is. And this is tough stuff. And it's tough for me. You know, you look at my life and say, Lord, how many times have I failed you in the hard time? And my character was kind of weak. Shouldn't have made that decision. And say, Lord, forgive me and get it right and move on and grow. But we can all look back in our lives and see that the situations, the crises where we didn't respond the best, we didn't react the best, our character came out wasn't really the best. Those kind of things are quite revealed. Reactive versus just, I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. And just having wisdom, it's hard to come to those things as we grow in the Lord. But it reveals, it doesn't make our character for saying. Let's look at a couple more things that I wanted to share from him before we move on. Integrity begins internally, okay? It begins internally with you. Inside, your thought process, your heart with the Lord, your mind, your relationship with him. It's not determined by your circumstances. There's a lot of psychologists that say, oh, it's not those people's fault. Now, it's true that there are things that happen to people that really affects their life. If you think, and it took me a while to come to realize that this is actually true. I just need to get over it and do it. Hold up. I'd invite some of you to just spend some time with Ms. Pepper and I, with some elementary kids that have gone through things that you cannot fathom. We had a boy this past couple weeks. Just, it would break your heart if you knew what happened to that boy. So there is some validity to that. But it's going to take a young kid a while with God's grace to overcome that. Can God's grace overcome it? 100% yes. And what do we pray for that young man if he's not already saved, that he'd come to Christ? Because that is the first huge stepping stone to getting the internal stuff fixed and to getting all those outlying external circumstances now for the glory of God. It can be overcome. It can be done. There's trophies of grace throughout history. You all know some in your own life, perhaps, and friends and family, that you can see that. But you can overcome your circumstances. Now, I'm not trying to sound harsh. I know some people have horrid circumstances. But you don't have to, oh, I'm a product of my environment. I just give up. I can't do it. Well, you can. You can. And again, it because the family unit is so disintegrated in our country, a lot of young people, they don't have dads. They don't know anything about male leadership. Oh, I didn't mean to be, what do they call it? What's that word? Yeah, misogynistic, and there's another. What was the thing they... Chauvinist, and then there was something they... I even had to do a Sunday school on it 3 years ago, and I still can't remember what I called it. Where the male, oh, you're just manpower. The patriarchy, all the good words that we hear from the liberals all the time. Now I don't remember where I was going with this. Oh, yeah. So they don't have dads in their lives. They don't have a example. And I'm not trying to say the man's, of course, man's got to be a leader. But I'm telling you, it has an effect on kids. They don't understand basic things. And we've our society's throwing the family unit out, and these kids are set up to fail. Set up to fail. There's hope. The Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm not trying to be, again, judgmental, but there's not hope in the public schools. I'm just going to throw it out there. There's not hope there. All they're learning is evolution, gender orientation. You think, oh, no, they aren't. Yes, they are. We got to stop taking the blinders off in this country. Oh, it wasn't that, that way. I went to the public schools. Yeah, 40 years ago. I mean, and that's exactly 100% the way parents are thinking this day. Well, I made it. Ain't no big deal. No, it's bad enough to keep a Christian school clean and pure. It's a fight every day. It's awful. Every day it's a fight. And there's young people that are coming to things. Didn't know about that. Well, I've never heard that before. Well, that's the point. Hear about the Lord. Let Him change your life and grow in the Lord. But I tell you, our society has set this up to where the environment, oh, it's not their problem. They aren't responsible for their choices. They murdered somebody. It's not their fault because, you know, they grew up in the criminal gangs of Chicago or Washington, D.C. It's not their fault they went out and murdered somebody. Murder, steal, murder. I can control whether or not I pick up this gun in anger and pull the trigger and kill somebody. Now, I know I just went against every psychologist in the country by saying that. Anger takes them and they murder. Did their background have an effect? Sure. But you can overcome your circumstances and you can have integrity and character. Next thing, it's not based on your credentials. And I fight with the accreditation type people and the people in charge with this. Oh, that teacher only has a 2-year degree. I don't know that we can certify him. Yeah, but they've been teaching for 20 years and they're really good. And they're leading kids to Christ. So whatever, deal with it. Oh, they got to have their credentials. Does that mean automatically you have character? No, of course not. That's the way our world thinks. That's the way our world thinks. I like that there's kind of a small little move in our country right now for these young people. Why go to college? Not downplaying college. Don't get me wrong. It's good to get trained and if you want to go into a specific field and all that, great. But you know, it's not for everybody. Don't throw a hymn book at me. It's not for everybody. You come out with $200,000 worth of debt and all you can do is you've got a degree in gender studies. What are you going to do with that? I got a master's in basket weaving. All right, go flip burgers. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not against college, obviously. I'm not against going. We need people in fields. But it's not for everybody. We teach credentials, credentials, credentials. Well, I'm saying there's these guys that graduate and go out into welding or linemen or riveting and sky. Man, they're making $150,000, $200,000 a year. And they're buddies from high school. They're in there in college. All they're doing is partying. They're on, you know, going to all the frat houses, having a great time, coming out with Fs and hundreds of thousands of debt and have nothing to show for it. Again, I'm not against it. I'm just saying it's not the only option. The credentials are important. I'm not downplaying credentials. I mean, Mr. Opega, if you want to be an engineer, you can't just say, hey, I'm going to Ryan's job and I'm going to take over his senior project manager position, and I don't even have a degree. Now, you could, because you're credentialed. I mean, I can't walk in there and say, Ryan, I got this one. Give me the bridge project. Got it. None of you would want to ride over that bridge, ever. You don't have to agree so hastily there, Jimena. No. Yeah, we want Ryan to be in charge. I don't have the credentials. I'm going to call Bill. Bill, I know you have a busy court schedule today. I'll go in and I'll take that one for you. You go to lunch. Boy, he'd be the laughingstock attorneys of his whole firm would probably shut down if I went into the court. I wouldn't have a clue what to do. You got to have credentials and you have to do those things. It's fine. But I'm trying to say it doesn't automatically mean you can be a leader. We've seen plenty of credentialed people that are basically morons. Not, again, trying to be mean, but it's just reality. It's true. You see credentialed people and you're like, they have two degrees in what? And they're doing what? It doesn't even make any sense. Credentials don't automatically mean you're a leader and that you have integrity automatically and you have character. And it's not to be confused with reputation. Character comes from what we are. Reputation is what people think about us. What's the difference? I can trick somebody. Right? Oh, I grew up in a Christian school. I know all about having a reputation. I grew up, and all my classmates, we were literally convinced, because this is, it's just the way it was in the semi-cultist place I grew up, that if the pastor thinks you're spiritual, then you are automatically okay. We were brainwashed to think that. All I wanted to do was make sure that in front of so-and-so and in front of so-and-so, I was the perfect little fundamentalist foundationite. I mean, you know, from top to bottom. What did I learn? I learned how to put on a reputation. It took a long time to get over that, and many of my friends from high school are never over it. Lives are a mess because it wasn't real. It wasn't real. Reputation is what, and we need a good reputation. I'm not downplaying that either. Again, don't misunderstand me with any of this. There's balance in all of it. We need good reputation. I tell the kids at school that, I don't care what people think. Well, you ought to. You need to care what people think. They're just judging me. Be quiet. I get so sick of that. It's like Mike Schrock was saying, bunch of babies, get over it. Yes, people are going to judge and people are going to think things. And what do we want them to think? We want them to think, glory to God. We want them to think, Christ. So what is my reputation? It's important. I'm not downplaying reputation at all. But where does a reputation really, truly come from? It comes from my character, my integrity. It's internal. It's who I am. Yes, wholeness. Should be one. No, we got these little compartments. I'm here, there. Secular versus sacred, this, that, and the other. No, it's oneness. That's integrity. We got to hurry. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Let's go there. You know this verse. It shows that it's internal. Keep thy heart with what? All diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. The heart is basically the fountain from which everything that is outward flows. What people see, and you can continue on to verse 24. What does he talk about? Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Let thine eyes look right on. Verse 26, ponder the path of thy feet. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand or to the left. So what our mouth, eyes, feet, and hands do should come from, it will come from, actually, the heart. It will come from the heart. So you got to keep your heart with diligence. You got to guard it. And it takes a lot of work of internally who you are. That way, what you do is one and complete and the same as what you are inside. Interesting points there. What are you? This is a good question. I hated it when my mom and dad asked me this when I was a kid. What are you when no one is looking? What are you that no one knows about? That's a dagger. It's a dagger to me. It was a dagger to me growing up whenever my parents said it or my teachers asked that. Character is what you are when nobody else is around. It's what you are. Reputation's what you put on when people are around. Do the two match? That's the question. To continually invest, you want to have character. Oh, I forgot I moved on to the second. By the way, we're on the second thing, quality. The first one was integrity. Second one is character. They go hand in hand. Continually investing in what is right. Character is something that you don't finally say, whoa, I finally did it. I've got all the character I need. It is literally a lifelong process because you know what? The Lord wants us to be conformed to Christ. Does that happen in just a day or two or 5 years or 10 years? It happens my entire life. And then one day I will pass from this life into the next. And because I know the Lord, I will be fully conformed to Him. Well, isn't that amazing to think that that's what we have in the future? The maturing of the saints, the perfecting of the saints. You hear that word in the Greek. It's tetelios. There's coming a point where it is fully and completely mature in Christ. We won't be there in this life. You know why? Because we got the old flesh. We got the old sin nature. He didn't just die off. He's still there. And I don't care if you've been a Christian for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. That old flesh can come up at any time and you can go, you know what? I like that. Sin. We're not perfect. I know there's some that taught in church history about the absolute perfection of the saints. So we're going to just reach this golden status of, boy, we are just the greatest of the great. I'm telling you, that really messes people up. I told you this before. When I grew up, you got to get saved and you go through that first gate, a crisis, get saved. And you keep going down this road and there's another crisis called sanctification. And so you can just hope to get there. And if you go through this crisis, then you're sanctified and the flesh is defeated and you never have to worry about Him again. I was taught that my whole life. And I'd go down to the altar every Sunday night begging the Lord, why am I not sanctified yet? I was totally confused. Because I thought, once I get sanctified, I'm never, ever, ever going to desire anything in the flesh again. I'm never going to desire to sin again. But I kept desiring it and I had to keep fighting the flesh every day. Why? Because we're in the flesh. It's reality. Now, God can help us through His Spirit render the flesh inoperable. Where He's not crucifying. He's not going to have any influence in my life. But you know what you have to do? I die daily. It's more like, with all that we got going on today, I die secondly, every second. It's tough. The devil has got everything ready. He's got a program out there. He's pushing his agenda. He's got social media. He's got more tools now than he ever has for evil to just go and for your flesh to say, nice, I like this. So, you know, we were lost. We were thinking, well, we're not as spiritual as brother so-and-so because he's sanctified. Woo! I'm not. Man, one day I'll get over this carnality. One day. I don't know when, but I'll just keep beating myself up about it. Literally, I'm just explaining myself as a teenager. But then if you get sanctified, you can keep going and you can get Holy Spirit infilled. Whew. Boy, I thought I'll never get there. That's way out there. That's for the pastor. Literally, thought process in my mind. That's for the pastor. I'll never get it. And I was saved and I already had it and didn't know it. Isn't that a shame? But then, once you get Him in a crisis, just this huge crisis, and you got to have, there must have been an emotion or something, because I never felt it. You got this crisis, and you're filled, but we're leaky vessels. We have holes, so God's Spirit just leaks out of us. So we have to have constant infillings. And one day, if we go more and more, just get to that point, we don't even need meat refillings. We got it. Do you think I was confused growing up? I was very confused. I didn't have a clue what sanctification meant. I had no idea that when I became a believer, I had the Holy Spirit. Does that mean I'm going to be perfect and I'm not going to sin anymore? No. 1 John chapter 2. Little children, I write these things unto you that you sin not. Present tense, don't live a life of sin. Habit. But if any man sin, aorist tense, one instance of sin that happens, Which, does that happen in our lives? Am I the only one? But if you do sin, you're not in a habit of sin, but you do commit a sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That is the most awesome verse in the Bible to me. One of the most awesome. There's a bunch of them, but I ain't going to sin. And I'm just, you know, sitting here and beat myself up about it. I'm not sanctified. I'm carnal. I'm not, what am I going to do? I don't have the Holy Spirit infilling yet. I just can't do this. Have an advocate with the Father. Paul describes this in Romans 7. I want to do this, but I don't. The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Because that's what the flesh does. And he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this bondage?" What does the last part of the verse said? I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. Why? Because I can't be perfect. I'm a man, I'm a flesh. There's no way. But you know who is perfect? Jesus Christ the righteous. I have an advocate with Him. And I'm going, yes, He's going to continually bring me closer to Him. Conform me more. Conform me more. What does He do to conform you? He brings out things and convicts your heart. What are you going to do with it? Now, you can choose two things as a Christian. You can say, I don't care. Does that mean you're not a Christian? No, not necessarily. I don't know that. Or you can say, Lord, you're convicting me about this, and I think it's hindering my conformity to you, and I want to remove this from my life. That's, I'm conformed to Christ. Another step. And you know what He's going to do? You sit back, whew, I finally made that spiritual decision. I'm closer to the Lord now. And then what does He do? Convicts you about something else, even more specific. Like, oh, man, Lord. And then what is He doing? Step by step. It's called growing. Pastor talked about it. Growing in grace. What's talked about? Growing in knowledge. You don't know everything when you get saved. But you grow, more conformity, continually invest in what's right. Look at a couple verses. Romans chapter 13, let's go there. Chapter 13, verse 14. He goes through talking about what the world does. Rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, strife, and envying. Look at verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. We accepted Christ as our Savior. And make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Lust simply means desire. That's all it means. Is there anything bad with having desires? No. We'd have a pretty terrible life if we didn't have desires, right? I'm going to desire greatly to break my diet today and eat something. And I probably will, unfortunately. We'll get back on it tomorrow. I'm going to have a desire. You know, I talk to the kids about this all the time. Well, how do we fulfill the desire? That's the point. Like, you know, the car that was there, that's a Shelby GT500 Code Red. If anybody has a dream car, I don't know if that's fleshly to say you have a dream car. That's my dream car. Bill's is an 83 Datsun. We joked about that. It was his first car. And well, anyway, 82. Sorry, Bill. But, you know, I was like, man, that is awesome. I desire to have a Shelby GT500 Code Red. So I tell my kids, go out and make millions of dollars because that's what life's about. And I'm just kidding. But not really. But I'm kidding. Anyway, I desire that car so much that I'm going to go down to World Ford and I'm going to break into their showroom and I'm going to steal it. I could do that if I wanted to, right? I might make it the first block. Of course, I could outrun them pretty good in that. I might make it a few miles down the interstate. And would my desire be fulfilled momentarily that I have gotten the Code Red Shelby GT500. Man, this thing is awesome. Just listen to that exhaust. Just the power, supercharged, almost 800 horsepower. Boy, this is awesome. And then the trooper that has the Dodge Hellcat pulls up behind me and just pull one over. Yeah, I can fulfill my desire, but what did I have to do? I had to break God's commandments. I had to sin to fulfill the desire. I'll look at it from another standpoint. It's a good desire to want to have a mate. It's a good desire. You know what our world today says about that? Just go do whatever you want. You want to go have a relationship with that girl? Go do it. Are you fulfilling the desire? God gave us that desire. Not going into too much detail, but God gave his desires. They're natural. It's part of fulfilling the creation mandate. How am I going to fulfill that desire? I'm going to go outside of God's boundary. I'm going to go out here and just do this, and then out here and do this, and out here and do this. We're making provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We're not putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and staying in his boundary. So we've got to continually invest in what is right, not making provision for the flesh. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. So again, not to get too far down the road, I feel like I'm going into a variety of topics, but we're still talking about leadership. Got to invest in what's right. Do what's right. It sounds simple, but it's really hard to do what's right each day. Chapter 4, verse 21, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by Christ, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off the former behavior, conversation, the old lifestyle, the old man, he's what? He's corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. There's desires that he's going to deceive you how you should fulfill them, and they're corrupt. Verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness, doing what's right, and true holiness. So therefore, it goes into the rest of the passage about what to put away and what not to do. In verse 5, chapter 5, it goes on into following the Lord and what to do. A great passage of scripture there in Ephesians 4 and 5. And here it is. It is a lifelong process. Lifelong process to build character, to be conformed to Christ. A couple of quotes that I have. One said this, besides God, character is your greatest security. You think about that. Well, they don't really know what happened. Do you? Well, they're going to badmouth me. Okay. They don't know the truth. Well, you do. Your greatest security is to do right. That's it. You never go wrong doing right. Ever. Because God's got that. God has that. He sees that. Even if man doesn't understand it and you think that in this life it's horrible, God sees it. You're accountable to him. You're not accountable to those people that misunderstand. Just do right. And what's the other one? It's never right to do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. That's a tough one. I tell it to the kids at school sometimes. Well, so-and-so did that, and so I did this. Oh, so now we're deeper in the hole. And then, by the way, it always goes up a step, right? Miss Bet, we've had some funny ones years ago. I remember one boy, I think he went in and wrote something on his book or something. Ryan will remember this. He did something in the boy's locker. Well, the other boy got upset and took his science books. That time the kids paid for their own books, and he glued all the pages shut. Wasn't that it, Ryan? Or did the thing where, okay, never mind. He folded all the pages inside each other. And so when you open your book, Rick Gregory might remember this. And it was just like, so he had to sit there for like 30 minutes and undo every page. And so then he got mad, took the other boy's shoes and put glue inside them. And so he put his shoes on and he was standing in glue. And then there was another, I think they glued a notebook and threw it in the freezer. That too, that the old freezer used to be, it was just some good times. What happens? I do this and I'm going to do this more. It just keeps going and going and going. And anyway, Ryan's class was great. They never did anything crazy. They never blew up rockets or lit fields on fire. Nothing of that nature. We need to move on. Jimena's like, who did I marry? All right. Anyway, it's a lifelong process. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So do right. Don't react. Just do right. God will take care of you. Here's another one. A man named Harold Cohn said, brooks become crooked, a brook stream of water, becomes crooked from taking the path of least resistance. Taking the path of least resistance. And that's what people do. And if it's an easy method, Chris always says, work harder or smarter, not harder, right? We always joked about the guy that did the carpet 10, 12 years ago out here in the whole hallway, had a massive roll of carpet. I'm telling you, that thing was huge. He backs up to that door and he's like, all right, boy. And he was done for like 3 weeks. Never stepped foot back in the building. Chris looked at him like, what are you doing? And Chris just got some dollies and some stuff. And I remember to this day putting things on there. And we just rolled it right into the building in about 5 minutes. And that's the first time I heard Chris say that. Work smarter, not harder. Yes, there's times where this is the easy method to do it. Why complicate things? No problem. When it comes to principles and things, easiest isn't always the right thing to do. Now, that's the warning in that. You could possibly compromise your reputation, your character, what you are. And sometimes you have to take the hard way, and it takes some grit to do that. And then moving on here real quick, I'm going to end with just some basic qualities of character some of these come from the business world, but they apply. I want you to look at these real quick. Credentials versus character. Credentials are transient. What does that mean? They can change. I can change my credentials. Character is permanent. It's what you are. Credentials focuses on rights. Well, I have a right to do that. I have this degree. I'm certified in this. I have a right. Versus focusing on responsibility. What's my responsibility to do? Credentials adds value to one person. This person has got it. He must be qualified. Versus adding value, character adds value to many people because it sees the need to help everyone. Don't misunderstand this, looking to the past, not in the sense of, yes, building on the past and building on your heritage, but in the sense of resting in the past. Oh, we're good. We don't need to do anything. What happens? Remember we talked about it, entropy. Second law of thermodynamics. Things always go down. We don't have accountability. It's hard. It's hard. It's one of the things about accreditation that I've learned. Accreditation is a process. I'll tell you right now. It is a ton of work. Sometimes it's the bane of my existence, and it puts me in a bad mood. It's a lot of work. But you know what? I've seen that it helps keep us accountable to keep moving forward and becoming excellent for the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. Because if we don't, what's going to happen? Whatever. It won't matter. And there's a balance in there. You can go too far with things. I understand that. But let's also, while we build, notice how it's worded. It builds. There's the past, and it's God's heritage and legacy. Let's not destroy it. Let's build on it instead of resting in it and saying, we don't have to do anything. We don't have to keep going on for God. We can rest for about 5 or 6 years and not do much. We got to keep building that legacy and those principles. Credentials invokes jealousy. This person has this, and this one has this, and this one has this, and that one has that. Okay, we don't need that. But what does character do? It generates respect and integrity. You may have a leader in a position, and he has all the qualifications and all the letters after his name and all the things, and you may not respect them. That people will not follow someone they don't respect. It's that simple. Maybe at some time in your life you've had a boss or an employer somewhere that was just hard to get along with. Sometimes God puts those in our way. And you know what? If you run from that, then God's going to put another one in your way, probably, till you learn how to deal with it. Sometimes God uses ogres to make us not be ogres. That makes sense? Yeah. Anyway. All right, credentials might get you in the door. Oh, look at that job offer. Look at all that stuff. This is going to be awesome. And you get in the door, and then because it's based on credentials and credentials change, all of a sudden you don't, I'm out of here. What keeps people? Character. And people that want character recognize that. You can ask the teachers in our school. They aren't here for the money. We're all about the money, Miss Pepperd. I wanted to show our paychecks when I heard that. But they aren't here for the money. They're here because they want to serve the Lord. They want to help young people have character, and they believe it's what God's called them to do. And that's what character does. You recognize the mission, the value. What are we doing here? What's the purpose? We're going to get into some of those things as we continue on. Reputation is what you are supposed to be. Character is what you really are. Father, just thank you for the study this morning. And I pray that you would help us as we continue to go through many characteristics of leadership. But yet, Lord, these characteristics apply to so many areas of our life. And I pray that we would be open and amenable to them. And you'd bless our church family here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your attention.